Thank you, Brother Jimmy, for filling in for us this morning, helping us out, doing a good job doing that. Everyone, please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 14. Continuing on of our study of the Acts of the First Church, we're going to study verses 21 through 28. If you are able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Begin reading in verse 21 of Acts 14. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia. And thence sailed, to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. Let us pray. Lord, bless the reading of your word. Help me to preach what you've laid on my heart. May you be high and lifted up. May people hear your word today, and not me, Lord. And may your word change their lives. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today's sermon is the Acts, the First Church, the strengthening of the converts. The strengthening of the converts. Now, the last time we were in the study, we were in this chapter, we discovered where Paul and Barnabas found themselves trying to be worshipped in Lystra, and how Paul was stoned and left for dead, but was able to get back up and continue what the Lord had laid out for him. Now, y'all, not everybody wants to hear the gospel. And there's even some people that say they want to hear it, but when they hear the truth, they then choose not to believe. And then they allow the workings of Satan to get into them and the influences of Satan to corrupt them, because they don't want to believe the truth. So they therefore believe a lie. And then they are influenced to so many things. And that's what happened with the people of Lystra. And they stoned Paul and they left him for dead. And drug him outside the city. Disciples that were converted there were all around Paul. And he stood up, went back into the city. That's faith, by the way. To get up and go back to the same place where you just was pretty much killed. And was able, through the Lord's help, in my opinion, to have strength to continue on to do what the Lord had called him to do. Today, we will finish up this chapter and see where they went back to all the cities that they had been and checking on those new churches. Just remember, it's always good to not leave new converts to themselves. It is our duty as a local New Testament church to not only spread the gospel, and when people are saved, baptize them, but it doesn't stop there, y'all. You've got to continue on with the Great Commission and making sure they're becoming disciples of Christ. And this is what Paul and Barnabas were doing. My first point this morning is the return to the cities. The return to the cities. We see that in verses 21 and 22, Dr. James Floyd wrote, Paul and Barnabas departed Derbe after they had preached the gospel, made disciples and taught them. They returned to Lystra and Iconium. They could have taken another way home, but there was work to do. Many new converts needed assurance and encouragement. In spite of the hardships that they had suffered, they had to return to the places where they had left these new disciples. In verse 21, When they went back to these cities, the Bible says that they were, I'm sorry, in verse 22, they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now, where were they doing that? They were doing that in the cities of Iconium and Lystra and Antioch. If you remember in our study of Paul and Barnabas, things didn't go too well in two of these cities. In Lystra and Iconium, one of them, they were legally kicked out, and the other one, they were left for dead. Or Paul was, anyway. And yet, now they're going back. Why are they going back? Well, they're on their way home. Maybe it was the fastest way home. I really doubt that. Maybe it was a convenient way to go home. I really doubt that, too. They were going back because of the work of the Lord. There was work that had to be done. You see, it takes... I'm going to try to explain this as best as I can this morning. If you don't understand it, see me after services and I'll try to explain it a little bit better. The easy part of the gospel is when someone gets saved. We don't save them. You don't save them. I don't save them. Jesus saves them. Our job is to present the gospel. That's the easy part. Presenting it. The Holy Spirit does His job in convicting them and leading them to Christ using the Word of God. And then they make the decision to believe in Jesus. But the hard part of that is what comes next, is the teaching and the learning. Y'all, if we have to, believe or not, sacrifice time and a little bit of ourselves to ensure that we are learning God's Word and that others are learning God's Word. Paul and Barnabas could have said, we're going to go to another city. And they were doing that. Remember? They had just gone to Derby. Now they're coming back. They could have gone into more cities to preach and teach the Word of God. But there were many, 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 many souls that needed the Word of God taught to them. So that's why it says in verse 22, they were confirming and exhorting. Now, I'm just going to great detail here, so please listen. The English word confirm means to make firm or more firm, add strength to, settle, or establish firmly. The word epithurizo is a Greek root word translated confirming in this verse. The word literally means to place firmly upon, to cause to settle upon. It metaphorically or figuratively means to conform, strengthen, and establish. This Greek word comes from two Greek words, epi and surizo. The word epi is a simple preposition that means upon. The word surizo is a simple verb that means to set fast, to set in a certain position or direction. It has a metaphoric use that means to render mentally steadfast, to settle, to confirm, to stand immovable, to be mentally settled. In other words, Paul and Barnabas were trying to help these new converts get grounded in the truth of God's Word, where they would never ever waver to false doctrine. That's what it means when they were confirming these souls of these disciples. They were helping them get grounded deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into God's Word, so that all the idolatry around them and the false doctrine of that idolatry and the heresy of the Jews would not waver them from the truth of God's Word. By the way, We need to be grounded in God's Word and confirm others so that they would not falter as well. It breaks my heart, but my heart is not the one you need to be concerned about. It breaks God's heart when we as His children waver from His Word. And when we don't teach others to be grounded in God's Word too, guess what? That breaks God's heart too. Too long have God's people been wishy-washy, sitting on the fence. Why? Well, we might hurt their feelings. I saw this thing on Facebook today, and I thought it was a little bit funny. You may not think it's funny at all. It showed back in the Dark Ages, people had to worry about the Black Plague. Then you fast forward the history, and you had World War II, you had to worry about the Nazis. Fast forward to today's society, you have to worry about hurting people's feelings. You know? It's like, oh, we can't do that. We'll hurt their feelings. Y'all, there's a right way to do something, and there's a wrong way to do something. That's all there is to it. Now, you're going to offend people if you live by God's Word. It's just as plain, as simple as it can be. You're going to offend some people by living right. But your attitude also plays a big picture too. You don't need to have the haughty spirit that I'm better than you. No, sir, no, ma'am. That does not work that way. You need to have a humble spirit. A very humble spirit. Tiffany read this to me last night, something she saw. I was like, I'm going to use that. I like it. Because I've been there. I've had this happen to me before, and other pastors have too. Not necessarily at this church, but in other churches. Church member come to the pastor, and she said, Pastor, I'm leaving this church. Because every time in the church service, so-and-so is on their phone and texting and not paying attention to you. And this person is always gossiping. And this person's always doodling on their pads and so on and so forth. So I'm gone. He said, okay, but I want you to do something before you go. I'm going to take this glass of water. I want you to hold it. And I want you to walk around this entire church and not spill a drop and come back and see me. Okay. So she walks around. She comes back to him. He said, did you spill a drop? No, sir. Why not? Because I was very focused. Made sure nothing dropped. He said, did you see anybody else do anything? No, I was too busy focusing on that glass of water. He said, maybe you should focus more on Christ and not on others. Especially in the service of a Lord. You see, this is where we need to be grounded in God's truth, y'all. Sometimes our focus is not on the right thing. But I know this is hard to believe, but some people come to church for the wrong reasons. They come to see what they can get out of it. No, no, that's not how it works. You come to God's house to worship Him and what you can do for God. And you'll get blessings as a result. But if we're not firmly planted in God's Word, that's why we're so easily wavered. While we're on the subject, I've been told, I don't know this by my own accord, but by those who've done the research, they say that with certain trees, the more storms that beat upon the tree and the harsh winds, the more so they get deeper and deeper into the soil. So y'all, when the storms of life come your way, if you'll just dig deeper into God's Word, he'll get more grounded as a result. So when the next storm comes along, he won't be bothered by it. The next word here, exhort. The English word exhort means to urge, advise, or caution earnestly, admonish urgently. The Greek word parakaleo is the root word translated exhorting in this verse. It literally means to call to one side, call for, summon, invite to come. It metaphorically or figuratively means to exhort, admonish, persuade. It comes from two Greek words, para and kaleo. The first word, para, is a simple preposition which means from, which indicates a source. You got that? A source. The other word, kaleo, is a simple verb which literally means to call to call into one's presence. In other words, Paul and Barnabas were pretty much putting their attention on these new converts, putting their arms around them and encouraging them to stand firmly upon God's word. We, as God's people, need to encourage new converts and others to stand and learn from God's word. I love the usage of that word because I can just see Paul and Barnabas putting their arms around these new converts. And remember Barnabas' name, what it meant? The son of consolation. He consoled. He comforted. Man, he was in the best spot for that. He was an encourager to Paul, and he encouraged those new converts as well. Just giving them strength. And you know what? Barnabas had to be strong in the faith, in my opinion. Why? Because we've already seen some horrible things that he witnessed and endured. But yet he was still there in the middle of all that stuff that he'd gone through and the hardships and the tribulation. He knew so well, he was encouraging others. Well, you see, on that note, they were also informing all these new converts about the tribulation, as the Bible calls it here, that they would endure while getting to the kingdom of God. Now, this did not mean that they would have to work to get to the kingdom of God. This simply meant that they would endure hardships because they were going to the kingdom of God. They weren't going to endure hardships in order to get to the kingdom of God. They were going to endure hardships and these tribulations because they were going to the kingdom of God. Jesus said in John 15 and 18, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." You see, Jesus taught this to us. And this would have been something that Paul and Barnabas would have known as well. The world hated Jesus long before it hated us. But they hate us because they hate Jesus. And you're going to suffer. If you live right for God, you're going to suffer. Brother Daniel, that's not very encouraging. Well, I do. You know why? Because if you're living right for the Lord, that means God's pleased. The world's not pleased, but I don't care about the world. I care about God. Dr. James Floyd wrote about this exhortation of Paul and Barnabas. "These apostles seem to take for granted that there would be tribulation and affliction on those who love the Lord. The Lord, who had gone before them, had shown them that fact. Entering the kingdom of God with their Lord's approval was in their sight. That alone was surely a worthy goal." There's peace in this life knowing that God is pleased with you. There's peace in that, brethren. But let me tell you what's not peace. When you know you're not in the Lord's will. You know To me, that's one of the worst feelings in the world. When you know you're not the Lord's will. But when you do the Lord's will, praise God. You can praise Him in the storm. You can praise Him on the mountain. You can praise Him in the valley. My next point this morning is the ordination in the cities. The ordination in the cities. Verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. The ordination in the cities. They ordained men in all these cities where there were churches. To ordain a man literally means to decree, give orders for. The Greek word means to vote by stretching out the hand, to create or appoint by vote, one to have charge of some office or duty. In other words, the church would have voted for these men to hold specific jobs in the church. More than likely, they would have served as deacons and other ministerial positions. The whole purpose here of them doing this is so that there would be those specific men in charge of doing things for the church. That they would make sure that those things got done. And notice where the authority was put? From the church. The church had the authority. And then they prayed and fasted. The purpose of praying and fasting here were to receive the blessings of the Lord. My last point this morning. My last point. The report to the sending church. The report to the sending churches. Verses 24 through 28. Paul and Barnabas had a sending church. And we've covered that before. Well, who was their sending church? That was Antioch of Syria. Antioch of Syria gave Paul and Barnabas the authority to carry the gospel. This is where we begin. This is where we get the belief that a missionary and new church needs the arm or support of an established church. Antioch of Syria gave permission and the authority to Paul and Barnabas to do what? To go and preach the gospel, but specifically to the Gentiles. And Paul and Barnabas did just that. Well, guess what? They reported back every now and then to them. They told their sending church about everything that had happened to them and the new converts. What do you mean everything? Well, the Bible says here in verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, before I go on, let me say this. It is beyond my comprehension how it is even possible for a church, a pastor, to not have communication with their missionary. Or missionaries. It is beyond my comprehension. But I want you to know the sad truth about it is that there are so many relationships in our world between church, pastor, and missionaries that are non-existent. They simply have the support, and that's it. There's no communication. The only way they'll ever know it is just by a monthly report, if that. I was talking to one man this past week in our work, and he was telling me about how he had just gotten off the phone with a missionary. He said, I never hear from our church or our sending church or our pastor. And I said, I don't understand that. I want to know if people are getting saved. I want to rejoice in that fact, don't you? I want to know if people are growing in the Lord and getting, as the Bible says, confirmed, strengthening God's Word. Or are they doing things they shouldn't do? See, that was the whole point of Paul and Barnabas coming back to Antioch of Syria, to tell them everything that had happened. Don't you know there was much rejoicing about all the souls that were then heaven bound? I don't know about you, but if our missionary come back and told us that the entire city of Springdale got saved, ha ha! Woo! Praise the Lord! Don't you remember? Nearly the whole half the city of one of those cities got saved. Wow! Brother Joe Hernandez would call me one day and say, Brother Daniel, half the city of Springdale came out today and they all got saved. Ha ha! Oh, man! But I would love it to happen here in El Dorado. Half the city come and get saved. Don't you know there was much excitement about the trouble they had encountered? Brother Chase Reynolds was here a couple Sunday nights ago. I just love to hear his testimony about how he's working with this tribe in Indonesia with the Yetfa people and helping them learn God's Word, which they don't even have, y'all. Many of them are saved, but they're craving God's Word, and he's helping them. And I asked him after, I said, have you encountered any hostility? Because, you know, I'm studying about Paul and Barnabas and the hostility they would incur, and I've heard some other stories from missionaries. I want you to know, Brother Daniel, he said, we've been very blessed. He said, from the Yetfa people themselves, we've never incurred any kind of hostility. Now, we have from Indonesians, but not from the Yetfa people. He said, but we're blessed. He said, but I know of a missionary in Russia. He said, sometimes their very lives are in danger. He said, so we're blessed. But to know, y'all, to know that there are men and women in this world who are preaching the gospel in some of these countries that proclaim it is illegal, yet the gospel is still being spread. That's exciting. That's very exciting. Now, can't you just imagine the tears being shed over to know that Paul almost died. But yet, they were excited that God prevailed and Satan had not. That the work of the Lord was still being done despite the enemy. Y'all, we know that Paul and Barnabas had good fellowship with this church. Number one, because they remained there for a while. But number two, they continued their support. I want to encourage every member of El Dorado Missionary Baptist Church this morning to not only pray for me, for each other, but for our main missionary we sent out, Brother Joel Hernandez. And then, I want you to pray for our other missionaries that we support. Brother Chase Reynolds and his family. Brother Jason Abair and his family. Brother Brent Rosendahl and his family. And the list goes on and on and on. These missionaries. Oh yeah, we have a tough labor of love here. But with these guys and these church planners and starting off so brand new, guys, it takes so much out of you. And they face things that we don't face. They need our prayers. And they need our support. And what is even better is that we need to keep a good relationship with them. They need to know that El Dorado Missionary Baptist Church is not only helping them financially, but is praying for them and is there for them. I love that we're always willing to do things. And we've helped Brother Joel out several times. We are his sending church, and we've been one time down to Lafayette to help Brother Jason Nairberry out. We've been to Thailand to help Brother Brent Rosendahl out. We make it to go to Indonesia to help Brother Chase Reynolds out. Now, Samuel said, that sounds exciting. Let me tell you all the details real quick. It's work, y'all. Because the work of the Lord is hard. But as it's often said, it's a labor of love. And it will make you humble too. And it'll make you desire to, on your own home front, fight the battle even more. I'm going to let y'all in a little burden I have. Starting next year, I pray with the Lord's help that we, as El Dorado Missionary Baptist Church, would get out in the highways and hedges around here to tell people about the Lord, and that they would be saved, and that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord through this church. But here's why I'm going to go ahead and let you know it now. I want you, each and every one of you here this morning, to pray, Lord, use me. Lord, mold me and make me, Lord, what you want me to be a willing servant of you. Because y'all, of the things that we need to do for the gospel of Christ through this church, I cannot do it on my own. Brother Van can't do it on his own. In fact, me and the deacons can't do it by ourselves either. And me and the Sunday school teachers can't do it by ourselves. We need all hands on deck. We do. And I have such a burden for this community. I'm ready to do something about it. But I can't do it on my own. God's going to have to help us, obviously. But we need willing people to put their hands to the plow. Some people think that mission work and going on mission trips is all fun and games. I think you should have good fellowship. But y'all, it's work. You see, coming to church is a wonderful thing too, but you've got to do much more than coming to church. You've got to live it, y'all. You've got to live it. And by living it, you've got to do it. So please, pray for the Lord to use you in His service, in His kingdom work, and that the honor and the glory would come through the church to give honor and glory to Him. What's on your heart this morning? I pray that each and every one of you has that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But I pray that it's a close relationship. We've talked about this in our Sunday school class the last 2 weeks. The second you get saved, Jesus is in you and with you. Always. But the closeness of that relationship all depends not on Jesus, but on you. And I pray that we would draw closer to the Lord. Because the closer we are to the Lord,
the more we want to be obedient to the Lord, the more we want to do for the Lord, and the more blessings that happens to our lives in this church as a result. So my prayer today is that each and every one of us will make sure that our hearts are right with the Lord, and that they were close to the Lord, and that we would be used of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. Lord, I don't know what is going on with the people that are here today. I know some things from visiting with my brothers and sisters here, but I don't know everything, Lord. But I know that you do. I know that you know the burdens that are on their hearts and my heart. But Lord, I want to pray just for me this morning. Lord, break the man that is Daniel Clark to mold me to the servant that I need to be, to the humility that I need to be in order to be used by you, Lord, to whatever it is. And I pray, Lord, that when people would see me and hear me, that they would not see me, Lord, they would see you and hear your word. And Lord, I pray for the things that need to be done, that you would put that burden upon my heart, but Lord, help me to fulfill that for you. And that you would get the glory and honor, not me. The city of El Dorado, Arkansas needs to know about you. There are people in our community that have never even heard about Jesus. Lord, help us to fulfill the Great Commission. Bless our time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand? What shall we say?